Hey, what's up, everybody? Shane Presley here with Rock Paper Podcast to tell you about my friend's Music Record Shop. Go visit him down at 4191A Manchester Avenue in the heart of the Grove, right between the demo and the ready room. They got new records coming in every Friday. This Friday, records from The Offspring, Neil Young, Jeff Lynne of ELO, Panda Bear, new One Direction record, all kinds of other stuff. So also, they do a lot of in-stores and things on Saturdays and Sundays. This Saturday, November 14th, Turntable Takeover with Devise. So they'll be hanging out, playing all their favorite records. There'll be Four Hands Brewery sponsored, so there'll be some beer to give away. So come out November 14th for that. Also, mark the calendar for November 28th, next Rock Paper Podcast Showcase with Hands and Feet and Connor Lau. Visit them online, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, musicrecordshop.com.
Hi, I'm Corey.
Josh.
Tom.
Gary.
Jay Eagle.
And we are Odom, and you are listening to Rock Paper Podcast.
Yeah. This is Rock Paper Podcast with Shane and his guests. You will listen to what he says. Shane will drive to your house and bring you brownies and talk for hours, 'cause it's Rock Paper Podcast.
Tell me why.
All you gotta do is download Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast.
We'll be right back.
Hey, everybody. Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast. Coming to you guys from, where the hell are we? What's
this? Muscuda.
Muscuda.
Yeah, we got, like, a horse and a buggy in an airport.
Yeah. They just got a Casey's. It's pretty nice.
Oh, yeah. It's pretty nice.
Yeah. I was going to get to that. Driving in, drove past the Casey's, and this is Gary's house, right?
Yeah.
And you live dangerously close to a Casey's, because I would be up there buying pizzas all the time.
I'm getting one on the way home, actually. Yeah. So.
You already...
I just
had it on your phone.
I just ordered one on my phone.
While we're sitting. It's actually the reason why I'm in this band is because he's so close to the Casey's.
Right. Yeah. But anyway, I am hanging out with the guys of Odom.
Odom.
Out among the masses.
Yes. Correct.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Hi, everybody.
Hey.
How are you?
Welcome to the show, guys. I'm very excited about this.
Well, thanks for having us, man.
Yeah,
appreciate it. Yeah, definitely. It's something I've been looking forward to for a long time, too.
Yeah.
So,
I was going to tell another little quick story about my drive out here.
You were on the road a while.
Yeah, well, you know, pretty good little haul, little field trip. Saturday night, I also wanted to kind of tie all this together, but Saturday night I went out to... St. Clair, Missouri, for the Skybrent White CD release party.
Yeah, yeah.
Which was a great time, a great show. And so I got home from, so we went to the show, and then we went to the after party at Jake's house. And then I get home, I drove Pat Gibson to Troy from St. Clair and then my house, and I got home like 6 a.m.
Wait, ooh. Pat Gibson,
damn.
Copperview.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I couldn't remember what that was from him. Yep. Copper. Yeah, I know Pat.
So I get home like 6 a.m. This is the first time I've watched the sun come up in a long time.
It's a long drive.
Yeah.
And
St. Clair, Troy. Wow.
All right. And when I get home, there was flipped on the TV, and the channel it was on, it was the Enjoy Church TV or something was on.
Yeah.
And Sunday morning.
I know where they're at.
Yeah. So I'm watching this guy for a minute, and he's got like a super soaker on stage, and I'm like,
be healed.
Drive by baptisms or what? Yeah. What's he doing?
Oh, hey, man.
It's anointed holy water in the soaker.
I was, I was pretty out of it by that point, but I remember him saying,
"I just blessed you in your face."
Yeah, I remember him saying something about hitting somebody, spraying somebody with a super soaker, and he's like, "Well, I can't spray you without getting some on everybody else," or something. And then he says something like, he's like, "This isn't called Enjoy Church, because here we're gonna have some fun, you're gonna enjoy," or something like, I don't know. Some stupid thing.
If I go to church and somebody sprays me in the face with a water gun, I'm walking the hell out of that church.
If somebody sprays me in the face, that better be
I'm
vodka.
Burning
burning the church. That's me.
God bless you.
Yeah.
Where's the wine?
Don't wake me up.
This is supposed to be nap time.
But I thought it was really funny because as I'm coming down 55, I pass the Enjoy Church.
Right there in Fairview Heights,
yeah.
Right?
Oh, 64.
Yeah. 64, yeah. Yeah, the Enjoy Church, the big...
Yeah.
I think they're charging admission to that place.
Yeah.
Seriously? Yeah, let's pay for God.
Wait, don't you do that already with offering?
God,
no, you have to pay to get in, and now you have to give offering as well.
Your tithes. You got to pay your tithes.
Oh.
There are so many giant, weird mega churches on this side of the river that have popped up in the last 5 years. It's so weird, mega church.
It used to be an old bowling alley.
Oh yeah, I know. It was on the side of 64 there.
Yeah, it was an old bowling alley.
They Fat cats.
Yeah, that's
they couldn't do anything with it.
Out my way in St. Charles, there's a big old church that, out there that it used to be like a line dancing place.
like old country.
Yeah,
wild country.
Like
that.
Right. Wild country.
I think it was,
that's funny.
So yeah, now it's a church and stuff. And I think for a while after the dancing. It was a
indoor go-kart racing place.
What was that, the place that had the souped-up go-karts?
Yeah, that used to be like a faith Christian church or something like that.
Now, what if they could have combined the go-kart racing with church?
Yeah.
Like, wouldn't that have been awesome? Like, first one to the finish line gets saved?
First one to the finish line. Yes. The finish line doesn't have to tithe this week.
Yeah, you don't have to tithe this week if you come in second. All
right. You get to keep your 10%.
Yeah, you keep your 10%.
You only get 5.
Wait. Inflation's
this podcast is sacrilegious, man.
Sacrilegious. If you want to go an extra lap, you got to pay an extra 10%.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
No Holy Mary's your way.
terrible
mega churches. I wish they would have kept the bowling alley and like had sermons there. Like if you get a strike, like if you had a 300 game, you get to sin all year long.
If you start practicing tomorrow.
If you bowl a turkey, you get to meet Jesus.
You get to meet Jesus.
Yes. No. If you hit 300, you get to meet Jesus.
Jesus himself.
What do you expect? You build the church in a little bowling alley, man, and you called it Enjoy Church. I'm trying to enjoy church. I would actually want to take a bowling alley and bowling ball in there now and just start rolling.
That's what I'm saying, man. Because like, the preacher would probably throw it at the crowd.
Yeah, just throw it down there. I'm like, what's going on, man? What happened to this place? Like, going there stupid. Like, I'm here for Sunday League, man. What's going on?
Yeah. Sunday fun day.
You can dodge a bar in here.
I ain't got any of them nachos. Where are the nachos at?
The nachos.
I don't get loosened up until I have, like, frame 3 of draft.
I gotta make some more.
I can't even, I can't bowl over 200 in, like, a Wii bowling game. Like, I'm so bad at bowling.
It's 9-pin no-tap today, right?
Yeah.
9-pin no-tap, yeah. Set up the pews. It'd be good, man. It'd be good.
Yeah.
So church. So yeah, that's some of the things that you see. So then there's like nothing but like a great expanse of just trees, and then next thing you know, there's like
because steeple's getting covered up right now.
It opens up and there's an airport.
Yes, it's weird. Like you come over the bridge into Illinois, and it's like first you go from city to third world country to cornfields to Fairview Heights to cornfields again, and then it's nothing but cornfields until you get to Chicago.
You do have that little expanse like in Springfield.
A little, yeah.
Oh, wind farms. You get the wind farms. In the cornfields. Then it's more cornfields.
Well, you got Litchfield, too. I mean,
Litchfield doesn't count. That's just a truck stop.
Yeah, okay.
Agreed. Right.
It's a truck stop.
I lived there for 3 months.
There's nothing there.
Exactly. No,
it's went a truck to college stop. Near there for a semester. There's nothing there.
No. Nothing. Yeah. So welcome to Illinois.
Yeah. Thanks for making the drive. We offer a lot.
Fairview Heights is a little better with Inimical like last time. Yeah. But coming out here with us, it's like, you're wondering if you start hearing that banjo playing.
a little bit.
I seen the Casey's. That's my safe haven.
Yep.
I'm good. The warm, inviting glow of the Casey light.
It's always been Chicago and then Illinois.
Pretty much.
We got that defined.
Yeah.
Next question.
Right. Next question.
I figure we'll take care of some business here. In case we forget about it later. But these guys have two big shows coming up. Find them at the Firebird on November 21st. It's a big one with Lori's Puppets, Maiden Waves, Isaiah James and the Chains, and these guys in Odom.
Yeah.
That's $8 tickets and 6 p.m. show.
Yeah, and Isaiah James and the Chains are formerly Show Baby.
Yes.
Yeah, I was going to say Show Baby.
Really big out
of Tennessee.
Yeah. Nashville.
Yeah, they were originally, I met them, they were coming in playing some shows with Fivefold, and think they were buddies with those guys, or still are, and they coming in from Sioux Falls, South Dakota.
Yeah.
And then I think when Chris, their drummer, left the band, they decided to, Trevor and Isaiah moved to Nashville. And then, so they've been doing it down there for a while. They've come up here with a different drummer, and then I guess, I don't know the whole story really, but I guess they decided to scrap the Show Baby name and kind of start a new project.
Yeah, they took the leap to change the name.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've actually played with them, what, two or three times?
Twice. Yeah, we played with them Firebird, too. Yeah.
Twice. Yeah.
I think one of them was with, what's Bonds?
Which one? Hushlist?
Hushlist. Yeah, I think that was our first
but
time.
When you say playing. Bond, you got to be more specific. Yeah, Bond's got like a million bands
16
now.
Different bands.
Yeah.
He's the Jamaican guy of bands.
I know Evan from Made Waves, he knows those guys really well, so yeah pretty stoked for playing with them again.
Yeah, they're great players, man. That's gonna be a fun show.
Yeah, I'm excited about playing with Lori's Puppets again, too.
Yeah, and those guys, last year's Point Fest finals winners opened up Point Fest. And
so maybe some of that good mojo will rub off on us.
Yeah.
You know, pass it along the torch.
Yeah.
You know, that'd be good. See us up on the main stage.
Yeah. And then December 5th, mark the calendar, you can see these guys at Pops.
This is going to be a drunken transvestite.
This is
going to
be a shit show. I mean, you thought Gary's 40th was a shit show? Oh, fuck, just wait.
He didn't even fucking show up.
I didn't even show up for that show.
He showed up for Odom, but that was about it.
Yeah,
but
that's why he had us.
Once Constable Road got on the stage, he was like, you saw what, who? Gumpy or
Gumby?
I mean, dude, you were
that
half-ass
the
on the
show,
floor, and you
had
Gumby behind
the cake show. I was gone, dude. Ugh.
You were gone. We had to. He's trying to sing, and we had to push him back on the stage because he was about fucking face first on the floor. I mean, it was bad.
You're just jealous. Bad. You ain't got no interesting stories. That's the life of a rock star.
I got a photo of that one night too. I got a photo of that night.
Nikki
shows
Six
up on my phone every
would
time
disagree
you call
with you.
Me.
Made Waves, the guys from Carnival Road, Bond was there. He's got stories. They all have stories.
That was great. Dude, I just remember you just, like, we gave you a cake.
And I was like, ah.
So, yeah. And then you got on stage holding the cake, and you were like almost in tears. You were so touched by this cake.
And I just remember seeing him shoved in the shower, people dumping ice buckets on his head. He's just like completely like.
Any night.
Cremated.
You wind
damn
up
near.
In the hospital with two bags of IVs stuck in your arm. And they're telling you
that's
either,
a good night.
They're telling you you either pee or we're going to stick a catheter in your ass, and you're trying to pee.
Why would they put a catheter in your ass?
Don't take it so literal. You know what the hell I'm talking. You know where a catheter goes,
not in your ass.
And if you don't, you don't want to know.
The question is, do you know where?
I know where it was.
You didn't
going.
Know where it went that night.
I didn't want to go anywhere near me. So yeah, that
did you not
any,
pay your copay or something?
anytime that happens to you, it was a good night. It was a good night.
Yeah, it was a good night, all right.
You wake don't up. Take the brown acid.
Or don't take any drinks from people you don't know.
Yeah.
Wink.
Anyway,
wink.
All right, yeah.
That night is good.
But anyway,
be a lot
getting
fun.
Back to Andrew's.
Andrew's 30.
Yeah, it's going to be just like that. Yeah. So, you know.
So we'll make sure all that, you know, IV bags are there so he doesn't have to leave.
Yeah, we probably need
EMTs are going to be on
dude,
site.
The best part, my mother's going to come to that show.
Awesome. Nice.
Wow. So December 5th at Pops.
Transvestite visits.
Conquer as they come, Advocating Adam, Skyburnt White, Midnight Hour, Diamondback Kings.
Yeah, we get to play with Gabe.
Yeah.
Skybert White.
And it is his birthday. Well,
no, it's not Gabe's birthday.
It's Gabe's birthday
today.
No, it's
Andrew. It's Gabe's
birthday. It's Gabe's
birthday
today, but when this podcast.
What are you talking about?
When this podcast ends up broadcasting, it'll be 2 days late. So, happy birthday, Gabe.
Yeah, happy birthday. Gabe.
Happy birthday.
Belated birthday at this point in time now.
Pony's going back in time.
Time traveling, dude.
He's our doc.
I did it Saturday.
Yeah.
It was 8 o'clock, then it was 2 o'clock. Shit happens.
Shit happens. It was 8 o'clock, and it was 2. Oh, yeah. No, that one's going to be a fun one. And all, I think $1 from every ticket actually goes to the Children's Hospital over in St. Louis. Yeah. And so it's a charity
directly.
That stays in town. So, you know, for every ticket we sell, you know, they... You know, $100 from whatever tickets we can pull. If we can pull 200 tickets, then $200 goes to Children's Hospital.
Yeah.
And I think they're going to try to do something with a toy drive. Not quite sure on that yet, but I think it's like if people get in, come in the door with a toy or unwrapped toy or something. Coco's going to let us know more details about it. So, but it should be cool.
You know, be sure to keep up on Facebook, and we'll keep you posted.
Yeah, definitely keep up on Facebook.
But regardless, I mean, this is a funding. It's not just, you know, we're looking to have a lot of fun, but at the same time, we are pushing, you know.
It's a funding.
But yeah, it's still a funding. You know, we're going for Children's Hospital. So anybody that wants to come out, please do. I mean, whether you're there for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, or you want to donate, I mean, obviously there's a way to donate. We'll find some way, whether we have the link for buying tickets online. If you want to buy extra tickets to purchase, just to fund everything you can for Children's Hospital, you know. Yeah. They always need help.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, what better way to do it?
We're doing it for the kids.
Yeah. Do some rock and roll.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's a stacked lineup. That's going to be a fun night. I saw Diamondback Kings for the first time that night at the battle for Point Fest. And I was blown away, man. I thought those guys kicked ass. They and they're like super young. Like 18 to 20 or something like that. So they're and it's really exciting to see, you know, them guys getting after it and they're talented and just getting going, and it's like they're gonna be ones to watch for sure, man.
Definitely. Yeah, it gets a little harder like to practice all the time when you got so many mouths to feed. So you start slacking off in skill wise, but it's like when you're young and you ain't got no responsibilities, I guess you got a lot of time to play some music. I wish I had that time.
Bring them over and just kind of get them to slack off. Yeah. Just get them drunk. I mean, if they're 18 to 20, I mean, by all means, no. If you're, no, stay away.
Stay away. No.
Smoke cigarettes instead.
Yeah.
You're old enough to kill yourself smoking cigarettes. But
pumping them lungs.
As far as drinking.
Yeah. We don't promote underage.
You can vote.
You
can
come to a show and love you to death.
Have a beer.
But yeah, we're not handing you anything for free.
Pony, don't think before you speak sometimes.
Yeah, you can edit that out.
Because it was 8 o'clock and 2 o'clock.
It was. It really was.
8 o'clock and 2 o'clock. Remember, time travel. 8 o'clock and 2 o'clock.
Time traveling.
It's past 8.
Marty McFly doesn't have shit on me. Really.
Except the DeLorean.
This is true. He did have
that sweet jacket.
Yeah, that sweet jacket. That was an awesome jacket. And the self-tying shoes.
That's kind of
those are badass. I want my 300 pair of Nike.
They're gonna make them.
Yeah, I know. $300 a pair, be awesome. So I can have my shoes tie themselves.
Yeah.
I don't want my shoes to tie myself.
Pure laziness. Like
it's called America. It's called
America. America.
Pure laziness.
America.
Anyway. So yeah, that's the two, and all you know with the show at Pops, it's a we are united. Show with Coco, and you know he's doing a lot to get the word out there and try to get the scene back together. So we're really excited about, you know, playing the show with Andrew. Dude, at the Ink Spot, you know, that's who's sitting at our tent drinking with us, and we love those guys. So you know, Conqueror, they come, you know,
and their new album
came out,
and Fivefold's new album is coming out. You know, they had their Kickstarter up, and they ended up meeting that, and so the album's coming out as well.
Yeah. So
here's one thing, you know, all of us local bands, we don't try to compete, we try to get each other's back, you know, with whatever we do, and I think that's one thing Coco's trying to bring back, not necessarily just the local music scene, it's just all of us not just competing with each other anymore, because that's where it led to, you know.
Yeah.
And doesn't need to be like that, you know. It needs to be all in one. It really does. It needs to grow and progress and everything to where we all feel like we have the chance to make it, you know, together.
Yeah, so I think it got to that point. You know, like you're saying, there was a lot of people. You know, bands wouldn't like talking to each other because it was always like a competition kind of thing or something. Like they were afraid to, you know, it wasn't like we had a lot of people hanging out all the time together. There was like kind of cliques or whatever.
Yeah, you'd walk into Pops before a show, and you'd see like like the band all standing around in a circle.
Yeah, and it'd be awkward. It'd be awkward at points.
And you'd have the two tables over, there would be the other band, mm-hmm. and two tables over from that would be like, you know, the other band, and it was so segregated and stupid. Nobody wanted to just communicate. Nobody wanted to hang out and have a great time. Yeah. Everybody was there trying to promote themselves and not promote the scene as a whole.
Yeah,
there's definitely a change. Where we're getting there. It's starting already, you know. But it's just exciting to see things are happening, you know. It's like
in the local. And that's scene. One thing I want, you know, with all this going on right now. I want these younger bands that are still young, you know, under 21. I want them to realize it ain't about that. It's about musically and, you know, in a community.
Right.
Helping each other out and not just helping one another out as a band.
And you see the industry in this town kind of is getting hit right now. There's a lot of big acts that are passing over St. Louis because of how bad the scene has been. And
well, a lot of that has to do with theft.
A lot of that has to do with bandings that aren't willing to take chances.
St. Louis, you know, the area has got a bad name, but you know what?
Don't put it on an age limit, though. I mean, everybody that can promote to anybody... promote your parents.
I'm not putting on age limit. Yeah. I'm just saying these new and upcoming bands they need to understand the St. Louis scene. And the St. Louis scene has gone to shit here for a little bit. And we need to bring it back up.
It's at a point now that it has kind of been starving here lately.
Yes.
And it's up to you to promote the show. It's up to you to sell the tickets. It's up to you to stock the bar for the venue. And it's up to you to
And
bring
it's not about just their certain band. It's about all these bands coming together and doing the same thing.
But whoever hears this podcast tonight, reach a hand out. You know, if you guys are struggling or you guys are looking for a show, reach out to the halfway successful or semi-successful. And just keep pushing.
Me and Jay have talked about this, and we're kind of in agreement on the fact that you can, when you're an up-and-coming new band, and you're fresh off, you know, out of your garage, it's good for you to go out and play, like, these smaller clubs where you can just get in the door and you just bring your friends, and there's not any real cover. And you can just get up there and you can kind of get your stage legs, you can get your stage presence, you know, and get comfortable with being underneath the lights. There's a lot of people, like, you know... When I'm talking to people to be in a band or replace players in a band, I always say, you have to at least have 2 years' experience on stage. Like, because, you know, if you're coming into a band that has been there, it's on the scene, you're making headway, you don't want to step backwards. So it's like, you know, these young bands, they need to understand, you know, but there's a time once you get comfortable on that stage that you're going to move over to where you want to play the bigger stages. And, yeah, in our scene now, you have to do a little work, you know, but... And that's where you start spacing out your shows, though, because there's only so many shows that you could play that before you start wearing on all your friends. Like, if you're not getting a following off those little shows you started out with, like, all your friends are showing up because it's, like, the new thing to do. Hey, I'm going to go support Brian because Brian just learned how to play the bass, and he's got a band, and we're excited for him, and he's going to play this weekend. And then next weekend, Brian's playing again because he found another place to play, and Brian's playing the weekend after that. And it's like, that's great. But Brian, hey, 6 months down the road, you should be comfortable enough on playing on stage where you're like, hey, all right, my friends are starting to dwindle down. They're not coming to my shows as much. Maybe I shouldn't play every weekend. Maybe I ought to play either once every 6 weeks or once every 4 weeks. It's like, you know, even if you're promoting a CD, you know, take your time with doing that. You know, your music's out there. And if you're good and the music's good, it's going to promote itself too. And you need to give yourself and your fans and your friends and your family some time before you go asking them to come back out to another show. Right. And, you know, that's why when we have a show, we try to space them out to where they're, you know, 2, 3 weeks, 4 weeks apart. And we try not to overbook us because we're at the point, we've been on the stage. Everybody in this room collectively has probably had over, you know, 30 years experience playing on stage.
At least.
With me being the oldest one,
yes, this is true, but
I at least have 20. So
you know what?
Got about 30 years.
Let's go ahead and put it out there. Just go ahead and put
these guys can
50 years on a stage total accumulated.
But my point is that, you know, you get where these guys get so excited and they want to play these shows, and you get these promoters or venues that see these young naive bands that are like, oh yeah, you know, I'll pack your place with all these people, and they look at them like a cash cow. And it's like they do all this work, they bring all their people, and they're not mature yet. You know, and even like, right. you know, Odom took our lumps when we started out. We weren't mature together as musicians yet. And it's like, you know, and we realized that, but, you know, we were bringing people to venues and starting out, and we could bring a crowd, bring in front of us, and the bars like seeing that. But the problem was, is that, you know, it's like if we don't start progressing as musicians, that crowd will eventually start to dwindle. And it's like, yeah. if we wear them thin by playing a show every weekend, they're not going to show up. They're going to be like, I'll just catch you next weekend because you're not going to be playing again. Right. You know, it's like you'll yeah. probably be playing at, you know, Bobby's down on the corner in about three more weeks. I'll just catch you then, you know, and they're not going to show up to your shows. And that's what kind of kills the scene. And it's like, you know, you got to learn, you got to understand, you have to value yourself. When you get to a certain point and you're comfortable on stage and you've matured and you got your stage legs and, you know, you feel that your music is worth, you know, people coming out and investing in you, investing their time and their money, and when they spend money at your merch, you know, and that's when you start to, you know, balls to wall promote and, you know, space out those shows and look for the bigger venues that can support the people that you want to bring in. Yeah. I mean, just... That's one of the things I want to tell all the young bands. It's like, dude, right now you want to get your stage legs, you want to get comfortable with playing in front of people, you want to get uncomfortable playing underneath the lights. The best thing you can do, the first show that you ever have, is a house party.
Sure.
Cheers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cheers. First, after that, that's actually the first thing we did as a band was a house party here.
House parties, so. And start playing dive. And but yeah, when you're working your way up, yeah, keep playing as many shows as you can, but. Not looking to, you know, you're not going to build that character right away. It takes time. I mean, it's we all took time to build the character. We're still building. Yeah, we are still building.
And that's another thing that people need to understand.
And our newest members, you know,
have been in
numerous bands.
Have a bit of humility and understand you are still a local St. Louis band.
Huh?
Right.
And it's like a lot of people, I notice like some people have a bit of success and they get this big head about them, and it's like, I don't mean to be rude, but dude, you're still in the same music scene I'm at. You're still playing the same venues I play. Sure. You might be headlining it, but you know, we're still right there with you. And it's like, you know, just have a tad bit of humility.
Right.
You know, and that's one thing I try to pride myself on. You know, I don't try to think I'm better than anybody else. And I don't, you know, I try to stay away from those people who go around with that attitude that they're better than everybody else. Because it's like, that's not what I'm wanting to promote. I'm wanting to promote musicians who are respectable and, you know, and appreciate somebody else's craft. And it's like in a lot of bands that I've ran into that I call my brothers that I appreciate as musicians, Skyburn White being one of them, you know, Gabe, Mario, and the guys, I love them all, you know, and it's like, you know, those guys, Conquer As They Come, Josh Heron one day, you know, and, you know, the guys from Silent Hollow.
Yeah.
You know, made waves, and they like Evan.
Callable Road, you know, these are guys, when we're at a show, it's not like Tom said, it was... We're all getting together, and we're sitting out back, and we're bullshitting, and we're having fun in the green room, and we're talking to each other in a community.
Right.
And you get that sense, hey, they're going to be watching me while I'm playing. I'm going to be watching them while they're playing. Our people are going to be standing there with us. Their people are going to be standing there with them.
And the worst thing you can do at a show as a band is be disinterested in the other bands.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
that's going to
walk
come,
away. While
yeah,
that
playing.
Will yeah, always walk away. Show a distrust.
A plague that I've not... Sorry. I didn't
no.
mean
go ahead. It doesn't just happen to like that band, it happens to the people that band brings, you know, it just, it's one of those things that's it's rude and it's rude and it's disrespectful.
It takes self-control because
like, even if you're not into that style of music, at least give them the respect.
Yeah.
Attention.
Stand in front of them. And if you're playing with them, just stand in front of them.
You have to have a collectivist attitude.
Yeah.
You have to always be thinking about every band that's playing that night. Yeah. So like when it's really for me, from experience, having seen bands when you play with them and they go, well, show up at this time because that's when we go on stage. Right. That's being very selfish, you know. And a lot of bands, it's extremely disrespectful because we brought our fans and we told our fans,
stay and watch everybody. Right. What time do you go on? It doesn't matter. The doors open at 7, so exactly. The show starts at 8. Be there at 7:45 and enjoy a really good show. You're going to pay $8. Why not watch 5 bands instead of just one?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You got to do that for each other. You have to force your band to always have that mentality. It's about the entire show, not just when your band goes on, because right. You know, that also makes people want to come out to live music more. These bands, they all put in hours every week. They work their ass off.
Well, that's something
to give you a good product.
But that's one of the problems that I go back to, where I say, you know, you get these younger bands who haven't, you know, worked on their craft. I mean, they're just coming out the gate, and they can bring a bunch of people to a venue. But when they start playing their instruments, you know, you're playing with people who have been doing it for a couple of years or 3 or 4 years, and they got a good sound. And you're like, well, the venue wants you to play with your band because you guys can bring, you know, you guaranteed them you bring 50 people. Well, you bring 50 people, but what do you play? Like, you haven't mastered your craft yet. You're not mature enough to be on the stage yet, but you're trying to be. And the reason the venue gives you that spot, and the next thing you know, it's like, your people are there to see you, and they're, you know, they know what you sound like. They know you sound, you know, decent and good musicians, and it's like they got to sit through something that's still learning the craft and still learning to be mature on stage. Right. And sometimes it's like disheartening to see that, because you see people walk away from the stage, and it's like, you know, you guys are walking away and you're making an impression on this young band, and they don't realize the mistake they made. Like, and it's a mistake. It's a mistake for a young band to sit there and play with a more mature band in front of their audience, because, you know, and a lot of guys I see are really cynical. They're like, yeah, we'll let that young band play with. They sound like shit right now, so we'll let them play with this. It'll make us sound better. I've heard that before come out of somebody's mouth. And when I hear that, I've lost all respect for you as a musician. Because you got to understand how impressionable these guys are, and you got to understand that they are just learning. And you were in that spot at one fucking time, and now you're going to act like a dick. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to have any part of that. that is what, you know, the scene gets to. It's like, you know, and it's not the band they're playing with at night, but some of these bands that book shows at venues, they use these younger bands to bring in a crowd for them just because there are more people to play in front of them.
It's cash cow.
Yeah, it's not...
And that's all it is.
It's not fair. It's like, dude, we don't have... Like, we might bring a following 50, 75 people, and we don't care what slot we have. We'll play first. That's fine. You know, we consider ourselves professional, and we consider ourselves good musicians. You know, if you're going to put us first... You know, your fans aren't there yet, and they're going to wait till 9 o'clock to come see you. Well, guess what? They're missing out.
Yeah, they're missing out big time.
Yeah. Yep. So,
but it's like coming in halfway through the movie.
And I've heard this. You know, walking out of a show before, you're like, did Odom play already? Yeah, they already did.
Oh.
Yeah. I won't even acknowledge myself. Yeah, they already did.
They already did. Pony won't say anything.
I won't say a damn thing. Yeah, they already did. Oh man, I missed out. Yeah.
Yeah, you did.
Sorry.
But that's, you know,
because the doors opened at 6, also, you didn't get here until 8.
You know, with shows like that where, you know, what Jay said earlier, it doesn't matter what time you fucking play. It matters about the whole damn show and all the bands that are there. And that's what we've been trying to...
Strive upon.
Yeah. Fuck, it's not just us. It's our brothers and music. It doesn't matter.
Sure.
Show up when the... fucking show starts and then stay there, please.
Yeah, it's always, all we ask. It's always show day. What time are you playing? I don't know. Yeah. Doesn't matter. Doors open at 6:30. Come see bands.
Yeah.
Come and have fun.
Like I said, Jay made a great point by saying that. Yeah. It's you show up when the show starts and you leave when the show ends.
You'll pay $300 to go see a tribute to Pink Floyd. You'll pay $5 to go see 6 bands play at Pops.
And cheaper beer. Jesus.
But, well, regardless of the alcohol sales.
It is.
But you're seeing 6 different variations of, you know, different genres. You know, expand your mind for a minute. Yeah. I mean, yeah, you spent $300 for 3 nights.
Sometimes I get my beer here in my mouth. And like,
you spent $300 for 3 nights to go see a Pink Floyd tribute band. Not Pink Floyd, a Pink Floyd tribute band. But, you know, come out and see, you know, so many different genres.
Thing 3 times in a row?
Yeah.
I thought so. Yeah, it's between 8 and 2, isn't it?
8 and 2.
Time out. But just to go back on my point about, you know, these younger bands that show up and play these shows,
it's the thing that the people that now have to understand is that, yeah, that's our scene. Mm-hmm. You know, we have venues misusing younger bands. We got bands misusing these younger bands who are bringing people in. And it's like, but the people that are coming to the shows and they see this, and I hope you guys are listening. It's like, if you see one of these bands and you're like, man, I can't sit through this. These guys are horrible. Understand that they were put in a situation they shouldn't have been put in, or they agreed to something that they shouldn't agree to because they love music. Yeah. That's what you need to appreciate.
That's why they're there.
That is why they're there, because they picked up an instrument and they thought they were going to change the world.
Whether or not and it sounds like, you know, shit, what? Whether or not it sounds you weird,
paid,
that's why they're there.
$5, $10, even if you paid $20 to get in that venue, you know, give them, you know, 10 minutes of your time and
give them the respect.
See if you can hear like what they're aspiring to be, you know, because that's what you're investing in. When you come buy a ticket, you're investing in the local music scene and you're helping that musician get better. And if you go up to them, don't just tell them, you know, if you got a criticism and you're sitting at their table, the worst thing you could do is tell them, oh yeah, you guys sounded good, but you don't when they're not sounding good. Like if there is a educated criticism to give to somebody, then give it. Don't be a dick about it. Don't be like, yeah, you guys are horrible. Your singer sounds like they're kicking cats down a hallway with a bucket.
No, just seriously tell them.
Just sit there and go, you know, yeah, I heard you singing. Maybe there's a breathing technique you want to try. I'm like, you guys, I see where you're going. You know, it's like, but be humble yourself. Like, and even like people that come to our shows, the worst thing like friends do sometimes, oh yeah, you guys sounded great. And then you go back and watch the video or hear a recording later
bullshit.
And you're like,
we sounded like fucking dog shit.
Like, the mix was
like fucking straight dog shit.
Like, we handed dog shit on a plate to people, and my friends just told me this
was
great.
No, not on a plate, on a silver platter.
On a silver platter, we're just here. This is what we did tonight.
And we've heard it, and we're like, are you fucking kidding me, Nick? You tell me next time we fucking sounded good, I'm fucking slapping you, dude.
Yeah, I'm slapping you.
Because we sound like shit.
We sound
like shit. But and there's been many times where we have done that as Odo.
We would have appreciated it more if somebody was honest with us instead of lying to us, because then, you know, we get comfortable.
Don't know where we're,
and you don't strive to be, get better, and you don't know where you're going wrong. Or you're like, if somebody can come up to us and just give us constructive criticism, it's like, we're big boys. You know, if you're going to get on stage, balls to get on stage and play.
No!
I know
Tony's got a set.
Well,
I know
we have balls, yeah.
So we can we all have a set of balls, so we can take the criticism. I don't know. Actually, his are gone right now, so.
Talk about it.
But, yeah.
What's wrong with you?
We can all take the criticism. So God forbid, please just tell us. You know, that's all we ask.
I just don't want people telling people. You know, it's like, especially other bands. Like, you know, if you're one of the you know bands that are out there that have been on the scene for a while, and you see a younger band, just let them know. Like, you know, or if you see a brother band and you're like, dude, I heard this. You know, maybe you might want to check that next time you're down practicing. It helps the music scene. I want to play with bands that are going to make me a better musician.
Yeah, because most of the guys we know, they would hear that from us, and they're like, oh, thanks, man. We'll work on it. So, like, that criticism that...
It's hard. Some people you gotta know who you're talking to, too, because some people can get butthurt really quick.
We know those people.
Hey, survival of the fittest. If you get butthurt with constructive criticism, that's not somebody coming up and just being a jerk to you. They're being respectful.
You don't belong
on the stage.
Yeah.
That's part of being a musician.
But sometimes you got to put a little lube, I guess, on your approach.
It is.
It's about, part of the music scene is being marketable.
Yeah.
That's the ultimate goal, is to have a marketable product to
all of us have that ultimate goal, and that's
we're not all snake oil salesmen.
Yeah. More marketable,
yeah. I don't know where we went. We went somewhere.
Snake oil salesman.
Evan,
I'm doing this.
We love you.
We love you. Made Waves. Shout out to Evan. Love you.
Snake oil salesman.
Just ask him about it.
Do you have an interview coming up with Maiden Waves anytime soon?
Nothing on the books.
Oh, we'll have to set something up.
Just wait.
I had him on the show before.
We're not snake oil salesmen.
Yeah, just wait, because if you
we're
ever
selling
do,
thin air.
If you do have an interview with Maiden Waves,
you know what he said?
Oh, you'll
we're selling
it,
thin air.
He told me we're selling thin air.
Selling thin air.
We're snake oil salesmen.
Snake oil.
Yes.
Snake oil.
In
salesmen.
A good way.
Evan, we love you.
I don't know how you
we
can
love
take
you.
That.
I don't know how you take that in a good way.
And your shiny cigarettes were awesome.
You're our boy.
I'm still waiting on that. What is that stir fry he was gonna make?
Oh fuck! On Alice in Chains night?
Yeah.
Shit. That's gone.
Yeah, God. All right. Anyway.
Good stuff.
That's my way
surely
of saying
you
moving
have
on.
Something else.
Yeah. What I was gonna be. That's like one of my biggest things of doing this show, and trying to promote local and everything the best I can. Is like, I always try to tell people like show up or like you said, because you never know when you're gonna find your next favorite band. Like, like I was saying earlier, I went to that the night you guys played down there, and I stuck around all night. The last band came up was Diamondback Kings, and I was like, you know, blown away. I thought these guys were great, and I was like, if I would have left early, would have never saw these guys.
Absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
So. I've played with other projects. I have played shows where the best band goes on first.
Yeah.
Sure. It does happen. It really does. Yeah. Sometimes it's just a matter of not knowing the booking agent or the sound guy, and you get voluntold to be the first band.
Or it's all based off of ticket
sales.
And
you're actually the best band there. Right. And it's up to you still, even though, you know, that's when you really, really wish that every other band had told their fans, show up when the doors open.
Absolutely.
Sadly, it's not self-evident, but it actually is kind of disrespectful to show up at 8 when the show starts at 7, because all of the bands, even though some bands might be better than the rest, they all have the same passion. None of them are up there to make money, I promise. They're all up there because they
we
love
spend
music,
more money.
And they have dedicated their life, or at least a large chunk of it, to getting good at what they do and writing music. I mean, original music especially. It's
not just money. Not
that's somebody's soul.
We lose money, but we, you know, there's some aspects in a band that you lose family. You lose, you know, certain things in your life that
social life.
Yeah,
social life.
That you were so used to on this aspect. And then all of a sudden you get in a band, and, you know, a couple of us here tonight, you know, we've lost a lot of things because of just being in a band life, and we're okay with it.
Right.
And we dealt with it, and that's what a lot of people don't understand. Not only do we...
We all sacrifice.
Yeah, we sacrifice money, but we also sacrifice a lot of damn things that have kind of turned our lives just... a total 360, and we're still here doing it because it's the passion. We love it.
Yeah.
Any of us could have dropped out at any point in time.
Dude, we were always trying to get people to the shows early. Like, even at the Road to Point Fest, you know, we got on, you know, Facebook and telling everybody on our page, hey, we're going to do a tailgate before the doors open. You know, we've set out hot dogs, slider games, soda chips, and everything, just trying to get people up there sharing with the bands that wanted to come over and eat with us. And, you know, and it's like trying to get our people to the doors at 6 or 6:30, you know, and it's like, because they should be there, you know, there was people asking, well, what time you going? And it was like, doors
doesn't
open
matter.
At 6.
Doesn't matter. Yeah.
Doors open at 6.
We're tailgating
but we're here
at
3 o'clock.
At 6 o'clock.
Yeah, we're at 3 o'clock eating hot dogs, beer, and whatever.
Yeah,
that was cool.
So
that night you guys advanced to the...
Soundtrap.
Yeah, Soundtrap advanced to the next round of the Point Fest finals, I guess.
Is that obviously we, both us and Soundtrap,
go to
get...
We're going to Point Fest.
Yeah, we're guaranteed a slot on Point Fest.
One of the main stages, or...
Yeah, whatever. There's the grand finals.
Yeah, whoever wins the finals gets to actually open the... Which, I mean, it's a nice honor, like, but, like, I was, I'm good friends with X714.
Yeah.
And those guys won it 1 year. And, you know, it was, you know, cool to be main stage at Point Fest, but it's, like, at 11 a.m. and, or whatever it was, and, like, the only people there are really a lot of your friends. There's everybody else starts, you know, coming around 12 or whatever.
All right, and honestly, you know, that's what we had conversations about. You know, we're not going to be all butthurt about playing at 1:30, 2 o'clock on the pop stage.
We love the pop stage.
We do because you know the way they put it around. You know, they want to say main stage. or whatever, you know, make it 3 o'clock. You know, that, make it 3 o'clock, make it 4 o'clock, whatever. Quit, you know.
It's really cool to see people sitting on the lawn. Yeah. Know, like, they're just relaxing, or whatever, dirt, you know, watching us play.
Sure.
You know, we, like, we had that option of playing on the stage, and there was still,
what,
like,
I loved,
an awning.
What I loved about that more than anything, about playing Point Fest and opening it up on the pop stage or playing the pop stage, was that all the bands that played in the battles or whatever were all sitting behind the pop stage. And yeah, we were just one, like, we had our tents all set up. It was like a little tented community, just like
it
is.
It was cool.
Where everybody's out in the back of the stage, and we're just drinking. Everybody's having a good time. You know, there's people passing out on the grass. And,
that's how it should be. Oh, dude. People.
It
fuck.
Is nice.
What was that couple?
We literally had a gated community.
We had a gated community. They had a bag full of fucking pork steaks or something like that.
And we were all drinking pork steaks. They were, like, giving them to us in plastic cups.
Y'all were fucking eating them, and I swear to God, I'm like, dude, that shit's laced with some kind of acid or something, because they're passing out right over there, and
I didn't drink any pork steaks.
I was hungry. I'm sorry. So you don't hand me a pork chop.
I wasn't drinking any pork steaks that day.
Expect me not to eat it. I'm sorry. You bring me pie at a show, I'm going to eat it too. I'm just telling you.
That was the same
girl. I keep trying to get people to bring pie to shows. Nobody's brought me a pie.
Hey, thanks for reminding me.
That same girl came up on stage and showed everything.
It's got to be chocolate. That's my
favorite. Didn't she end up getting naked on stage or something like that?
I have no idea.
Remember that girl? Where,
dude, I ate the pork chop. You're asking me questions I have no answers to.
Right. That's right. Yeah, you were hallucinating.
So I kept getting my idea about midget transvestites.
Jesus.
He brought that up earlier.
Yes, it did.
I don't understand this.
Going right back around to it.
Yeah.
At least I'm not talking about miniature horses.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Oh, I don't know who did that.
I don't know who did that either.
I talk about time traveling. You talk about transvestites. Man. I'm just going to get
midget transvestite. Is that politically correct to say that word?
No, it's not at all.
No, they like Lewis.
Hey, Gary,
has Freeburg changed your team name?
You lived out in the country for too long.
At least that is something real. Time travel? Yeah, that's not real, bro.
How many did you
just happened 2 weeks ago.
How many little people transvestites have you seen?
I'm just saying.
Now I finally get politically correct.
Oh,
I've been
wrong
all this time.
Yes,
now you're
little people.
Just a little.
I said it's. I didn't say I gave a shit. I just said it's politically incorrect.
Oh.
So look at that. All right, next tomorrow.
Subject.
Box 2 is going to be on my ass from morning, huh?
When do you become a dwarf?
There's actually some sort of medical difference between
a midget and a dwarf.
Yeah. There's like a... Yeah.
But wouldn't they still be considered little person?
If you're a dwarf, you carry.
But they
an axe.
Like little people.
Now I was wrong.
They
now,
like
Jesus
the term
Christ.
Little person.
No, I wasn't.
Going way down the rabbit hole here.
Yeah, all right. Let's bring next back. Subject.
Yeah.
Damn.
Let's talk about this
one
album.
One pill makes you.
I want to talk about this. So I listened to this like
makes you.
I don't know, 4 times on my drive out. Since,
we're sorry.
Since it's a pretty good haul. But yeah, the to be continued, I guess, your EP, I guess,
correct.
Yeah.
Here in a little bit, we'll be working on our full length. You know, we're working on getting new material out there and letting people know.
Get people excited. Like,
yeah. We're not working
to
on
be
full
continued.
Length.
We're not going anywhere. Yeah. We're staying here. So that's what that pretty much meant. Sure. Even though it might take 2, 3, 4, 5 years, we're not going anywhere. We're going to be back. So,
and we're going to make a full length CD.
Yes.
Within 2, 3, 4, 5 years.
2, 3, 4 years.
You're going to buy it.
You're going to buy it.
Yeah.
Pony's paying for
it.
It's a slot machine money.
Pony is paying for everything.
Yeah. Buy a slot
machine.
We're going
to pay for it with my Social Security.
Hey, we have a better option on that one.
I hate you, Tom.
I'm sorry. I get my chops in when I
I'm
can.
I'm still wondering when
you know, that was
a
just
person.
A little.
Would you say
a
medium,
you know,
medium person?
Little touch of what we got.
Any less than
411. We have a lot more coming. Yeah. So
we're just going to start writing too
until the arthritis hits in, then I'm done.
Yes, and you know when a,
so we
when
have
I
about
say,
6 months, so we're looking for another bass player. So.
And when I say we're going to continue writing, we have 2 brand new members that are
currently learning all the old material.
They're currently learning, but they are going to bring a lot to this band that it will potentially, you know, kind of change a lot of things with Odom, and that's why to be continued.
But not
that's
a bad what we're
no, not
I
a bad thing.
I don't think either one of us are here to like reinvent the wheel. You know,
no,
there's a
no,
particular
but they're,
sound
they're going to put their
band,
part in.
And we have
horizons are
that.
Still being
that's
open.
What we want. If we're having two different guys come in, we're not Odom as one sound. We're Odom as a family, as a group of guys that we all do this for the love of it. We all have families. We all have either a wife, kid. You know, we're all doing this together. And we're not going to say, hey, Tom, our sound is this, so stick to this. Fuck no. If he wants to put a sound in it, please do.
Yeah.
And Jay, same thing. We talked about it earlier tonight, you know, put your shit in it, and we're not going to fucking say no. Absolutely no.
Well,
no.
It's one of the things where people have to feel like the song is part of them, because that's when it shows on stage. Yeah. It's like when people feel like they're just playing the painting by numbers, so to speak.
Right.
They're not really invested in the song. If they make it part of them, then it shows on stage.
Yeah.
And they can express that, and it carries over to the audience.
Yeah.
You know, you just don't want the guys like, oh yeah, I'm just here to play.
These two
I
have already
showed up yesterday, learned the songs, I'm good. Whatever.
These two have already taken most of our songs that we have right now on our set list and made it theirs. You know, not pretty much switched the whole damn thing. No, but they put their sound into it, and that's what we like.
Yeah.
That's what we want. And we're not putting requirements on. No, I'm saying both of them.
It helps that I'm a talent.
And even, you know, Gary, with Gary moving back to bass.
That was a bad decision.
Gary was our guitar player and went
Yes, away. Yes, yes, it was.
I immediately regret this decision.
Immediately regret this decision. I am so strained right now. It's
it's between 8 and 2.
Ponies.
It's between 8 and 2.
Time travel.
He's emotionally unavailable.
Time travel. Time travel.
Can it be May already and it just be Point Fest and I can retire?
Boo.
Shit.
You're not as old as Gary. You don't get to repeat
that. Oh, you're really this man.
Damn.
You still got a few decades to go.
I love that.
Oh, shit. Okay, so we'll keep it rolling. We'll keep it rolling.
My AARP is coming in, buddy.
Yeah, I know. I fucking delivered that shit.
When Gary starts rolling around on the hover round, that's when you know you can retire.
No, when you're a snailman, you deliver AARP shit to his house. There you go.
One of the chairs to retire. Go down the stairs and go to the band
that
practice.
Was awesome. That was awesome.
Like she's just sitting there holding on?
Yeah, just sitting there holding on to the chair going down the stairs.
All right, I'm here.
Somehow we were supposed to convince you guys and all this to come see us at Point Fest.
Yeah, exactly.
we're trying to get this back around to him. Hey, come see us on the...
whoever the 21st. Headlining band
come see us
Point Fest is, they came to see us.
If you enjoyed this show...
If they make it through all the ramblings, going down the rabbit
come hole. See, the 21st and the 5th, you're going to see a show.
Yep. Reel us in.
Maybe a shit show, but yeah, it'd be cool.
Break Me Down. I was listening to that on repeat a couple times. And that song, that was a good one. I really like it a lot. Reminded me, I don't know, I'm sure you mentioned... earlier with Bond stuff about Alice in Chains or Evan with Alice in Chains night or something.
Yeah.
We actually, my father, who is the foster brother, the bassist of Alice in Chains, he got a bunch of tickets and we all went, and Evan wanted a ticket really bad and we had an extra ticket, so we brought him and had a fucking blast.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's Alice in Chains, but,
got to see our idols up close.
Yeah,
that's what I was listening to that song. Bucket list. It reminded me of
Nutshell.
Of Nutshell, especially the ooze at the beginning. And then, but just like that whole Alice in Chains unplugged MTV set was like incredible for me, and that's kind of where I got that vibe listening to that song. Kind of
we've actually covered that a couple times.
One of our major influences.
Big time.
Easily. 90s. Yeah, easily.
That was a hell of a show, man. I took my little brother. We were hanging out there that night at the. It was a really good time. I saw him once before in a small club like that. 4 or 6 years ago, I guess maybe now, was like when Black Gives Way to Blue was
when it first came out there.
The acoustic show?
Was probably at the pageant.
I went to we took a drive up to Chicago to see him at the House of Blues.
Oh, okay.
Wow,
yeah, right, House of Blues right there downtown.
Yeah, it was incredible, man. Like we so I saw him at a Point Fest in the middle there, and then to see him back at the pageant was a lot of fun.
Yeah, actually, that Point Fest was on Mother's Day, wasn't it?
Yeah. That was the one on Mother's Day.
Yeah, that was a 30,000 sold out crowd.
Them guys, you know, they've always been in my life, especially my father and all that. And, we actually went to California a couple weeks ago and hung out with Mike Inez, bass player. So,
nice.
It's, you know, big influence. And
he's not bragging on himself.
No, he's not going to drop
I'm not bragging.
I'm not dropping names.
I'm kind of a big deal.
Hey, Mike Inez. How many times are you going to say Mike Inez in a sentence?
I said Mike Inez once.
Well, we went to go see Mike Inez. But
yeah, Break Me Down. If you started with Break Me Down, I remember that.
That song.
I remember
very
that day that song was made. Gary came up to my my job and said, "Man, you know, our drummer." Pony was going through a hard time with his ex-wife, and Gary pretty much wrote the song about him, you know, explaining, you know, to his wife, break me down, tell me what you want, tell me what needs to be better for us to stay together, you know, it's pretty much what the song's about, and, you know, it didn't end up working out between them two, but, you know, the song still...
did work out.
It worked out.
I don't know why you, like, always say it's bad when people get divorced, because apparently they're happier now. Like, congratulations.
No, that song...
Yeah, you know, but that song was about...
Hey, you're out of a shitty relationship. Good for you!
That song was about them trying, you know...
I'm trying to make light of something.
That song was...
That song was me fighting for, you know, who I thought was the love of my life at that point in time. And Gary saw everything I was going through. And I thank God for bringing Gary, me, into this band. I mean, he asked me for years. He wanted me to join Corvus, the band he was in previous to this. And I was just like, no, man, I can't. I can't do this. And then finally I just gave up. I was like, all right, I haven't played in 6 years. He's like, no. You want to start this new band, you're bringing in all these different people. I was like, I'll come and play. And eventually we ended up starting writing the song, Break Me Down. I was going through a divorce, going through some bad times. And, you know, these guys at that point in time saw who I was. And they knew what was going on. You know, I was in a bad deal. And it just ended up coming out. And within one night, I mean... Gary went to Bacardi's, wrote this song. They got the lyrics done. We come back on a Monday night, and I just lay out drums with all my heart and soul that I could. And from then on out, it just laid there.
Yeah. It shows, man. Like, you can feel it. Like, I mean, I'm getting chills listening to it. Just it's a powerful song, man.
Yeah,
we always try to go.
That's why
I'm so old. I'm writing it.
That's why these guys need to learn how to play it. Yeah. Because it's a very good song. It's a song that was probably the first time as Odom that we really, really, really emotionally connected. Because, you know, I know Gary is always connected on a feeling like that. Obviously, Pony has. And, you know, me, shortly after we got that song, you know, I split up with my ex, my son's mom. And that song became close to me because of that reason. So... You know, that song, yeah, it's very special to us, and we'll never leave, and,
yeah,
you know.
I think it was Y, or one of them, it was reminding me a lot of, like Godsmack vocals. Like, do you consider Godsmack
an influence? I got a Godsmack tattoo on my ass.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
On your ass? Literally.
Not on my ass. Literally. Not on my ass. Okay. But on my body, yes.
It's the same place where I got
my
catheter.
Yes.
It's buried in the other 19 tattoos somewhere. It's
yes, Godsmack. I've listened to Godsmack since day one. They, Sully Erna, man, I tell you what, besides Aaron Lewis, Sully Erna is a fucking genius. He is a musical genius, and...
He doesn't get as much credit as he deserves.
Oh, he should. Sully, I mean, some bitch knows how to play any instrument you could think of and just you know, the way he portrays himself and just everything.
Yeah.
You know, he's very, very talented. Very talented.
Yeah, a lot of the guitar work at the time was just written around, like, what Corey was kind of influenced by vocally.
Sure.
You know, and it's like they got a lot of, like, open strums, you know, and it's like the drums kicking off everything, too, on the beginning of that song, so.
Yeah, I could hear, like, you know, even like singing the other words, but I could just imagine, like, crying like a bitch!
Like, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Stuff like that.
Yep.
But yeah, no, it's a fun record, the CP, and even a bonus track on there. I found out.
Oh God,
that one was cool. We got
that one. We had fucking fun with. I tell you that.
Yeah, we're just.
I sounded like shit. That was probably one of my first days of recording. I think it was ever.
Yeah,
and first days of.
I just told people to hit record. Right. He didn't know.
I did not know. And I dude, there's... Oh, my God.
But it's raw. I mean, it's great. It's sure. Like, sometimes you capture something, which is always good, and I'm like, well, whatever. You know, I want people to see us, like, stripped down, kind of naked.
I'll be listening to that. God damn, dude. What the fuck were you doing?
I got 7 kids. I don't care, man.
Yeah, the strippers the other couple weeks ago didn't want to see me half naked either, so...
But no, I mean, yeah, it's we wanted something to be on there. Like, you got a little 3 or 4 song demo, and it's like, yeah, just have fun with something, hide it back there. I don't remember what I told Jeff to do when he was recording it. How many seconds? I said wait 33 seconds because what is that? The what did I say to him? What was the significance of 33 seconds?
I have 33 no
seconds.
We pulled it off. We pulled that off of.
You weren't even there when we did.
Johnny Cage.
You weren't even there,
dude. 8 to 2. Be quiet.
Yeah,
it was
time travel.
Time travel for us,
Zach
Marty.
Love it.
No, I don't know why we.
I'm gonna get that tattoo.
I have no idea.
Yeah,
McFly on my forehead.
McFly on my forehead. You're gonna get that on tattooed on your wrist.
Yeah. People ask me questions. Why?
Why? It's terrible. It's just terrible. Terrible. All right, let's go back. That's not
well, let's, I guess we'll go ahead and close this thing out. It's been a lot of fun, guys.
Thank you.
Dude, yeah, thanks for coming all the way out here, man.
It's exciting to kind of get to know you guys a little better and talk some business with you. And,
November 21st,
yeah.
Firebird, come check us out.
Yeah, come meet these new guys.
And then when
we got some
check us out on Facebook.
What was the next show? We're
doing December 5th.
December 5th. That's what the
yeah.
Lori's and then Point Fest.
So
well, it won't be then Point Fest. So it'll be something in between there, I'm sure. But
it's going to be the grand
final. Well, we know, but yes,
call it.
Look for updates on the Facebooks.
Grandiose.
No.
Yes, Odom. OATM. Odom Band on Facebook.
Not Oatmeal.
Yeah,
Odom. Oatmeal, yes.
Yeah, it's very hard to find you guys trying to tag sometimes.
It's not ATM. Yeah. That's a whole other thing.
Yeah.
We're not going to talk about that.
OATM.
It's OATM.
Odom? Adam? I searched O-tum. For it. No. Not A. Not Adam. O-tum. We're not an Adam bomb. No, Odom.
But we're on.
Oh.
Yeah.
And yeah, just don't forget, like, you know.
Give her the O face.
Why?
It's not a visual platform.
Why?
They can't see the O face.
Why?
You can't see the O face on a podcast.
That was awesome.
Take a picture and we'll post it.
Yeah.
But yeah, thank you. Thank you for doing this. Definitely.
So November 21st at Firebird, December 5th at Pops.
Yeah.
Mark them on your calendar. Get tickets from these guys. Come out to a show. Show up early.
Yeah.
Support all the bands.
Hang out with us. We'll be out in
the parking lot. We will make it worth your while. That is a promise.
Yeah.
Show 21st, I give you an O face.
Oh, Jesus.
Chase him all the way.
So, he will not.
I will not. With a couple of tracks, you want to put, since we talked about it, you want to put Break Me Down on there? And
yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
Break Me Down on Y. Let's throw them up there.
We on Y, too? You got it. So stick around. Hear those. You can also stream them on Spotify.
Yes.
And you go, what are they on? iTunes and stuff.
CD Baby, Amazon. CD Baby.
Yeah. Yeah. Albums, yeah.
So grab some on Amazon. Music.
Yeah. Rhapsody.
Prime this shit. That's awesome.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Exciting.
Supposed to be on
so
all
exciting.
You could stream on your Xbox.
I could.
You yeah. could.
I don't have an Xbox, though.
Get an Xbox.
You're no longer cool.
PC you're Master Race, man.
How are you playing Fallout, right?
Cookout.
PC Master Race.
Oh, no. All right, guys. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thanks, Shane. Thank you, guys.
Thank you for listening.
See you down the road.
Hi, you are listening to Rock Paper Podcast, and we are Odom. Corey. No, that sounds like shit.
See, I feel like
we're all
like
fucking retarded.
Hi, I'm Josh, and I'm holding scissors.
I feel like if we do this, we gotta yell Whoa Bundy at the end or something.
Whoa Bundy.
No. I'm Corey.
All right, let's start over. Start over.
It's still recording.
All right. Hi, we are Rock. God damn it.
How about, hi, I'm Corey, and I sing.
All right. Hi, you're listening to Rock Paper Podcast, and Gary is fucking laughing. I'm about to hit him in the ball sack.
All right, do it again.
Hi, I'm Josh. I'm the drummer for Odom. Thank you for listening to Rock Paper Podcast tonight.
He's going to make a speech.
Yeah.
That was it.
Hold up his hand, too.
That's all he had.
It's not a visual medium.
Watch. Go.
Name. And we're Odom. Thanks for listening to Rock Paper.
That's the way you do it. Ready? Go.
Hi, I'm Corey.
Christ.
What?
Really? You had to fuck it up. Seriously? Right. You had to fuck it up.
Hey, 8-2.
Anyway. All right. Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast, y'all.